This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good morning. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 141 of Within the Trenches. I am currently recording live from the 2017 Navigator Conference put on by the IAED here in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm sitting in the Expo Hall. And kind of wrapping up here for this conference. Been here doing this all week, and the expo hall, that, you know, all the stuff here ends up ending at 1:30 p.m. It's about 10:19 now. But I have to thank the IAED for supporting the podcast and giving me the opportunity to come out here and do this and do the show and help tell more dispatch stories and speak with pro 911 organizations and such. So thank you very much. And this episode is also supported, as always, by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So we're going to jump right into it here because it's been a long time coming. We actually did an episode already. However, we haven't done one face-to-face, and we actually met for the first time finally this week. So my guest today is Ryan Dedman, and he is the Outreach Director with the 911 Training Institute. What's up, man?
Good morning.
Yeah, it is. You know, did you get a chance to get any breakfast or anything?
Breakfast? Sleep? No, I don't even know what those are. The last 3 days.
What is that? Right?
I think I've been awake for 3 days straight.
I ended up getting a small plate of fruit and a couple muffins, and I tried to eat some of it, and then, you know, people were coming up, which was awesome. But then my body was like, well, I guess I'm not actually hungry after all. And then I started nibbling on stuff, and then my stomach started eating itself. I'm like, well, I can't get up and leave now.
It's like to the point where your stomach starts to shrink and you don't even need food. You're just self-sustaining.
Yes. So just like kind of sipping on water here and there.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, don't overdo it now.
I know, right? I'm going to power through this. I'm sure by 1:30, I am going to be dying and I'm going to be starving. My body is going to be pissed off at me, wondering where is the meat?
It happens.
Oh, yes. Hopefully they're still serving breakfast. I can get me some bacon. Just give me a plate of bacon. That'll be good
with
that.
We'll make up for the last 2 days.
Right? Or, you know, because I'm Mexican, hook me up with a tortilla and I'll just put all of that bacon in the tortilla.
I could go for some tacos right now. I'm Southern California.
Boom.
So me and Mexican food.
Did you ever hit up food trucks down there and stuff then?
I have known to frequent a couple food trucks here and there. You know, it doesn't show, but
yes, I know, dude. That's right.
Like a VIP customer.
Dang.
Some of those.
So you just have like high metabolism then.
Yeah. You know, I'm burning calories as we speak here.
Oh, man. So tell me, what is new? What's going on with the 911 Training Institute?
Oh, there is so much going on. There is a lot. Well, first, you know, let me thank also the IAED, and this Navigator Conference is absolutely awesome. This is our third straight year being here with the 911 Training Institute and formerly the 911 Wellness Foundation.
Right.
But this conference is probably one of my favorite to attend.
That's awesome.
And, you know, the staff and the volunteers at IAED who bring all this together and make it happen.
Right.
Accommodation is due. So props to all of them.
That's pretty awesome. Now, as you were saying just a minute ago, you had said formally the Wellness Foundation. Now, if you can kind of, because it ended up getting announced that, you know, you guys kind of closed shop. Some of the resources are still up there, which is a good thing. But, you know, there's a lot of people that keep reaching out and are still looking for, you know, more information and stuff. And I try to tell them as much as possible. So maybe by, you know, kind of announcing it here as well, just a little bit on the, you know, the closing of the doors and switching over mainly to the 911 Training Institute.
Yeah. So the 911 Wellness Foundation was co-founded by Jim Marshall, along with some public safety professionals and mental health professionals. So it was a conglomerate of people coming together to battle stress and how dispatchers could better optimize their battle against stress, but also their work performance and whatnot. And there was a grassroots movement of a lot of different people spread out all over the country coming together to try and form initiatives and just, you know, work like horses. But I think what we ended up deciding is that our individual efforts would be better achieved by supporting the greater goal and mission that organizations like NINA and APCO already have established. And since those organizations already have the powerful moving parts to address issues like stress management and individual care, what we decided to do was wrap up shop. So the 911 Wellness Foundation no longer technically exists.
Right.
And all of our board members have gone to support initiatives of NINA and APCO. So what we do now is direct people to those organizations to support initiatives by NINA and APCO and the IAED here in regards to the same that they address for dispatchers at the Wellness Foundation.
Right. And that's, you know, the good thing, though, is that everything that you guys had done and build up with the foundation is getting also spread out towards the other organizations and everything that you're doing with the 911 Training Institute. So even though that entity is specifically, you know, closed down, it's still, the word is still getting out there in different ways. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, so the Wellness Foundation, its entire mission was centered around bringing to the forefront those issues of stress.
Right.
And in the fall of 2016, we just realized that, you know what, we feel like that mission has been achieved, because now you cannot attend a conference like this anywhere in the country without there being breakout sessions and workshops and topics of that nature to help remind dispatchers how to battle that.
Right.
And so, mission achieved. And so then we really had to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, okay, well, if we feel like we've really achieved our core objectives and mission, what are we doing?
Right.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
And it seemed kind of silly at the time just to exist for the sake of existing. And so we were able to wrap up shop under the care of NINA and thank you 911. So they took over some of those programs that were currently still under project of the Wellness Foundation.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So now, you know, moving from there with the Training Institute and such, you guys have been all over the place. Jim, especially, he's been all over Indiana, and I'm out of Indiana. And our former training coordinator, who is now the service manager for Indiana, she works directly with the statewide 911 board. And so that's Lori. And then Laurel, who's the deputy director, the both of them have been working closely with Jim for all of these training courses that are going on in Indiana. I've been wanting to attend one of them to get in there and, you know, just enjoy it, because I remember going to his classes and stuff when I was still dispatching, and they were always fun. You know, they're inspirational. And in an episode, I think it was episode maybe 20 or 21, he and Deanne, they both kind of pulled a Jedi mind trick on me where, you know, Jim is saying, you know, Ricardo, it sounds like that sounded like, you know, you were reaching out for help there. And I said, what? And then he repeated what I had said. And he goes, what do you really mean? And without thinking, I said, I want to have more time for my family and myself to do more things. And I sat there for a moment. I thought, he just got in my head. Like, I don't even know how he did that. I've told that story many times, but still to this day, I think about it. And when I talk to him face to face, I tell him about that. And he goes, oh, no, it would have come out eventually. I was like, I don't think it would have, man. I don't know what you did. You must have drugged me somehow, or I don't know. But he's been all over the place.
You know what? And he's done the same to me, where he like tilts his head and holds his hand under his chin and like gives you that weird little stare and pulls that Jedi mind trick and waves his hand in front of you and says, you know, these are not the droids you're looking for. And
right, exactly.
Before you know it, I'm saying, you know what? Yeah, these are not the droids I'm looking for.
You're right. They're not.
What's going
Damn
on
it.
Here? Stop that.
Yeah, so he's been all over the place doing this training and just, you guys have been doing some good work. So well done.
Thank you.
Now, you guys, you're working on or doing a course on peer support, which seems to be a very hot topic here at the IAED.
Yeah.
As well as in other, you know, news articles and such that I've seen come out, other organizations talking about it, and which is a good thing. I'm glad that all of this is finally coming forward and coming out in the light, because nobody ever talked about it, and now people are really talking about it. And you know, you guys are trying to work with dispatchers to get that peer support. So tell me about this course.
Yeah, so we have a certified program now that is 40 hours long, broken up into different sessions, where we certify our participants, the students, in a peer support program, so that they can go back to their agency and help build initiatives into a program of operations at their communication center. And hopefully department-wide, but at the very least in their comm center for their dispatchers. And so we start with 2 days of Jim's class, which is called Survive and Thrive, which teaches dispatchers how to optimize their own health and well-being.
Right.
And figure, well, after we teach you how to take care of yourself, now let's start talking a little bit more about peer support.
Right.
And then we have a one-day course that's the intro to that. And then we follow up with a two-day course, which talks more about peer support, what it is, and how to implement that into operations at your center.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what has the response been like then since you guys have been doing this?
Very, very positive. Very positive. And you
know
what?
That's always good.
Yeah. You know, and peer support programs probably took off, you know, in 2007, 2008, at least where I'm at in California,
right?
They became really popular. And I've noticed all throughout the country now that it's becoming more and more popular. But I'm still surprised to know and meet people here at conferences like this where they're like, peer support? What's that?
Right, yeah.
And it's like, you don't have something like that at your center for as a resource for your employees? No, tell me more. And so it's a real privilege to be at conferences like this and meet those people. And, you know, if even not through the 911 Training Institute, they develop something else like that, you know, it's very much needed for the care and welfare of your employees.
Right. So, and then your background and your history, you know, coming from, you know, California and such, and, you know, switching over into, you know, being pretty much kind of like an industry partner and such on this side, you know, you probably took a lot of what you dealt with during that time to help do this peer support, like, you know, a lot of ideas and such, it's helped do that. Would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is Jim Marshall's baby. And he developed this from scratch after seeing the need and then trying to meet that need. And he brings a lot of the clinical psychology into it.
Right.
Because, let's face it, the basic peer support, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But my former background as a dispatcher, you know, I can relate to the dispatchers. And, you know, if nothing more, my personal story of me dealing with stress and my breakdown as a result, you know, I can say that, you know, I am a living testament to peer support and its success in showing that, one, not only is it needed, but that it works.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good thing. And that's what I was trying to get at, is that, you know, he built this from scratch, like you said, but having you on board, you're able to help fine tune it and tweak it even more because you're bringing that, you know, experience from the chair to help, you know, with that as well.
Yeah, and we just talked to dispatchers because some of them have some misconceptions about what peer support is. You know, they think, you know, are we about to dim the lights and hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was going to say the same thing.
And people, you know, should I lay down on? Is there a couch I have to lay down on? And, you know, we're going to chant some mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, that's
incense
not
going.
Peer support. That's not peer support. So we try to break that. I try to help break that stereotypical view and show it. You know what? Let's take that world of psychology. And when we bring it into public safety, here's what it looks like. And here's how it can best serve your employees at your center for their welfare.
And then how long are these courses then, or for this specific course?
This specific one is broken into three parts.
Right.
So the first part is 16 hours, 2 day, eight
Holy
hours.
Cow.
And then the second is just a straight 1 day, 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then it follows up with a 2 days of 8 hours. So
how do you guys
for
do
a total
it?
Of 40.
How do you do it?
Well, we don't all do it at once.
Oh, okay.
So it's not.
Well, no, no,
the
no.
reason
I know
for
that
is,
I mean,
because few centers can find time to send their dispatchers out for 5 days straight of training, right?
Right. But
we're all short staffed or something like that.
Oh, I know.
That's what
I
heard, right?
What does that mean? No, I was wondering how. So do you do this class as well, or is it all Jim?
Nope, this is all Jim right now.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say, because I've seen him do a few classes, and I've even asked him as well, how do you do it, man? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, how do you talk for that long, that many hours?
Yeah.
You know, because we have a mutual friend in Tom from the Cool Kids of 911.
Right.
You know, and he was, you know, kind of offering some spots at the Mini C conference to do an 8-hour day. And I'm thinking, I would love to do it, but I would have to go halvesies with somebody because right. I don't know that I could do a whole 8 hours on, you know, on whatever I could help teach. So
it's like going to dinner with people and the waiter's like, you know, you want separate tabs or should I put this all on one?
Right.
I got the same problem. So I'm like, I think I could do 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. People wouldn't get tired of me after 4 hours, but I run out of stuff to say.
Yeah. See, and then Adam Tim from the Healthy Dispatcher, I sat in one of his classes and, you know, I saw some of the stuff that he does and the same thing, just like Jim, you know, it's an all day event and man, I don't know. I think that would be hard for me to do. Yeah, I could probably do it, but I don't know.
Jim Marshall and Adam Tim are brilliant presenters. I mean, they are captivating.
Oh yeah.
And at no point in time have I ever sat in either one of their courses and, you know, started to doze off or get bored or
they're very high energy and Jim especially will be jumping around and you know and talking and stuff and points at people and is like, you know, this is what's going on. This is how you feel. I'm like, that is how I feel. Yeah. Trying not to get emotional.
That's like a white tent spiritual revival.
Oh yeah, it's freaking nuts. You just need somebody actually beating a drum there. Yeah. Like, all right, I've got this. I'm doing it. This is crazy.
That's hilarious.
Oh man. So what else is the Training Institute got going on? You've got this peer support program or course that you guys are doing. What else are you pushing for dispatchers out there?
We are pushing so much. So right now I think we're basically taking a dual approach to training, where one approach is we try to help dispatchers take care of themselves, but then our secondary approach is helping dispatchers master some of the calls that they frequently take.
Right.
One of which is domestic violence, and then
it's a big one. Yep, yeah, definitely.
And then secondary, some of the mental health calls that we deal with. So people calling with mental illness who are experiencing crisis. You know, I don't know about you, but when I got certified to be a dispatcher, that wasn't training I got in an academy or right. even on site at the department where I worked. How to specifically deal with someone who's calling, experiencing crisis as a result of the mental illness that they face. And so a person like Jim, with his clinical background in psychology, can bring some of that psychology to us and really help enlighten our field, because let's face it, those are more and more frequent calls that we receive and handle in our centers.
Right.
So how do we bring positive outcomes to those calls?
Yeah, that is a huge thing, because we didn't have any training at all either on, you know, specifically calls like that. You know, when I was in dispatch, it was just, you know, handle it how you handle it. I mean, there yeah. were courses out there, you know, to deal with certain calls, but not, you know, like mental health issue type calls.
Right.
Then you're there and you're, you know, you're trying to think on the fly of what exactly to say or what exactly to do. There was a guy actually that I remember specifically who called, and he called many, many times. And he, this is how 1096 this guy was. For those listening, you'll know what that number is, 1096. But he was having mental issues, you know, and he called and he gave me this phone number and he goes, you've got to call this phone number and let them know that the president is in danger. He's going to get killed. And he's telling me all this stuff. I'm like, holy crap. I was like, dude, I was like, there's probably a SWAT team around your place right now just because you said that.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll take the phone number. So he gave me the phone number and he goes, I'm going to call you back in exactly 10 minutes. And I said, okay. He gives me the phone number, and I yell over to my my supervisor at the time, because I wasn't a supervisor yet, but it was in the middle of the night too. And she goes, call the number. What's the worst that can happen? And I said, okay. I said, have you ever watched movies like Speed? Yeah. You know, I mean, I could call this number and something actually happened,
right.
And then it would be me. So I called the number, and I hear White House switchboard.
Oh,
and
man.
I chuckled and I said, excuse me. And she goes, this is the White House switchboard. Can I help you? And I said, okay. I said, this is Ricardo with Allegan County Central Dispatch. This gentleman called me and gave me this phone number. I didn't think he actually called the White House, I said, but he's telling me all this stuff. And she goes, what's his first name? And I gave his first name. And she goes, oh, we know who he is. He's from, so, you know, whatever place in Michigan. And I said, yeah. And she goes, he's harmless. I said, for real? She goes, we get calls from him like every day telling us, you know, this stuff. And she confirmed it, that he would call and say that something was going to happen to the president. And apparently they had already checked him out. And I don't know how. But yeah, so dealing with stuff like that. But this guy also one time called and spoke to one of my my coworkers, and he said her name and said my, how did he say it? He said my beautiful Greek and then her name. And she put him on hold and she's like, what the F? She goes, how does he know that I'm Greek and all this other stuff? And I said, I have no idea. Like, he knew stuff about her, which was very weird. And I don't know how, maybe they were just very lucky guesses, but it freaked her out. And so you guys doing courses on how to deal with people that have mental issues is a good thing. Thumbs up for me, because we didn't have any training on how to deal with people like that. I mean, that dude got to the point where he was calling in the woods. He was in the woods and he was calling, and our officers were looking around in the woods for him so that they could arrest him for abuse of 911. And he's talking to my coworker and he goes, I see your officers right now. And he goes, I'm in the woods. I can see them. And we're like, bullshit. No, you can't. And he starts describing who's there. And our supervisor was with her husband riding that night, and he was a sergeant. Then he goes, yeah, this one has a girl with him, and was describing what she was wearing. And we're sending the message out to them. And we're like, he sees you guys. Like, this guy can see you. Like, you guys need to be careful. They couldn't find him. And he ended up going back to his house. They arrested him a couple days later, and he, you know, got sent to a place to be dealt with for his issues. But it was some scary shit, man, that it, you know, we're trying to deal with him and he's saying, I see your officers right now. They're never going to find me. I can see them, and describing where they're at. It was crazy.
And you know what? That's funny, because every dispatch center across the nation has that type of caller.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, it's Joe again. And he's calling about people pointing lasers at his house. And you're like, he's right. He's harmless.
Put on the tin foil hat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, at what point do we as telecommunicators have to recognize some of the psychological symptomology of someone who might be experiencing crisis, where now Joe is no longer harmless,
right,
but he's either a danger to himself or to other people. And, you know, we need to send the appropriate resources to check on him. So how do we recognize that over the phone? And then how do we de-escalate that? Because if Citizen Joe is having a crisis and a meltdown and a breakdown,
right,
how can we de-escalate that to get the information we need for dispatching, but also try to help ensure that there's a positive outcome in all of this, and that there's some type of long-term solution, instead of, you know, regularly police officers, firefighters, EMS showing up at Joe's house and call it good, and we'll be back tomorrow,
exactly,
same time. Yeah, okay, see you then.
All right. We got you on the schedule here for tomorrow at 9 a.m.
So more has to be done from the communication side for us to help recognize those recurring problems. And then what can we do from a communication standpoint to also try and help resolve them?
Right. And that's, you know, definitely a good thing as well, because I know, you know, I've worked with people or heard about others that, you know, in the past have spoken to frequent flyers that ended up having, you know, mental issues or whatever. And, you know, they get, you know, kind of pissy on the phone.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, well, you can't do that. I mean, you still got to be professional, just because you know that they're having an issue or whatever. You still can't be a douchebag on the phone to them. But they're calling because they believe they have some issue. And, you know, we still got to be good about it. So it's nuts, man.
Yeah, so the 911 Training Institute is, Jim Marshall is calling it emergency mental health dispatching, which is appropriate.
Yeah, that's good. That is a good name. Well done.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could take credit, but I will defer to Jim Marshall again. Yeah.
Well done to the Institute. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
So you guys are here. You've been here for the week, and the peer support one is the course that you guys gave this week. or did you guys do a course at all this week?
Actually, no, we haven't done any courses here at the conference this week. We only have our exhibit booth set up, and so we're meeting.
Which looks pretty sweet, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, very nice. Good setup.
Had to crack the whip this year and made Jim set it up all by himself, so I'm
that's right.
Pretty proud of that. Thank you, United Airlines, for delaying my arrival.
Did you get dragged off the plane?
I did not, no. I did not get dragged off the plane.
Oh, okay. Well, you came walking in with a limp, so I wasn't sure.
I was sitting next to him.
That's why you had a little bit of blood on your shoulder. Oh, man. Such crazy stuff going on that. Jeez. Not only that, I mean, there were other, like, delays and stuff. And that were going on with like Delta, you know, because a week or so ago they had some weather problems, some issues that ended up destroying their system, and they were canceling flights like almost up to 4 days after the actual incident happened. And I was supposed to fly out on Sunday. I was going to fly out on this past Sunday, and a buddy of mine, a coworker, was flying out on Sunday as well to New Hampshire, and I ended up switching it. And flew out on Tuesday instead. Oh, it's a good thing that I did, because all the Delta flights that were flying out of Fort Wayne that had a connecting flight in Atlanta were all canceled. It didn't matter where the hell you were going, they were all canceled. Then he sent me a message and he goes, man, it's a good thing you didn't go. He goes, there were a lot of pissed off people there. And then when I got to the airport, I flew into Atlanta and I heard someone saying, hopefully we get out of Atlanta. And I thought, oh, crap. I thought everything was cleared up. So I'm sitting there praying, hoping. I was like, come on, big guy upstairs. I know we're cool. I was like, get me there. I need to get there. And sure enough, I was able to make it. So
yeah, my arrival was the same. I ended up circling over the city of Austin, Texas for about an hour and a half.
That's nuts. You
know, the storm of the century was blowing through Texas.
And it's weird when you have to do that, because you can feel it, that you're like, I think we're going in circles.
Right. Yeah.
Like this. Yeah, this is kind of weird. What happens if we run out of fuel?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad you were able to make it, because I sent you that text message. You're like, I'm stuck in Houston. I was like, what? Like, you're not going to make it?
Well, I'm glad my plane landed. So, you know, that's a plus.
That
is
a plus.
Got my feet back on the ground. You know, we did not end up on, you know, fuel bingo,
yeah,
which is what the pilot said over the intercom.
Oh.
Like, you could not have used worse terminology to freak every passenger out on
right.
this plane by saying fuel bingo. What what does that mean?
Right. There's a chance. There's some sort of chance.
We need to land right now.
Yeah, exactly. So was the landing good, though? Because my landing was crazy when I landed in New Orleans.
Yeah, no, it was.
We hit hard.
It felt like a free fall ride at Six Flags.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. If you're into that kind of stuff, yeah. But if you get motion sickness like me, I'm going to let me off.
Oh, man, dude. Yeah, we came down. We hit hard, and the plane swerved.
Right.
And I saw people grabbing onto the handles of their seat, and I thought, well, this would be a bad way to go if we already landed, and then we just start flipping or something. Look like the Tasmanian devil going. It was nuts. So then,
yeah. So I get off my flight, and I'm looking at my phone, and I got, you know, 50 messages from Jim, who's here setting up all by himself, and now emails to catch and notifications and whatnot. I'm like, man, I got to get there, right? So now I'm waiting for my shuttle, and this sweet little old lady pulls up, who's my shuttle driver.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh boy, this will be interesting.
So Miss Daisy was driving you.
Miss Daisy was, yes, yes. And it gets better, because I'm the only person on my shuttle. And so here we are, it's me and Daisy, and we're having this conversation. And I start to notice, you know, there's a lot of traffic passing me on the I-10. And I look over her shoulder and check the speedometer, and we're doing 55. And I'm like, this is frustrating for me, because I'm in Southern California. You know, 55 is what we do on surface streets.
Yes.
So on the freeway, you know, I'm doing 80.
Right.
Right? Especially on the I-10 when yeah. there's no traffic, mind you.
Yeah.
But like... Daisy, we got to step on it. I got places to be, you know, and, you know, 55, it's going to take me an hour to go the 15 miles to my hotel.
Right. And she's looking back, yeah. looking at you, like, just, sir, would you like some Werther's Original?
Oh, God bless Daisy.
A little bit of hard candy for you.
Yeah. God bless Daisy.
So from here, I mean, what's next for the Training Institute? Where do you guys go from here?
Well, we are pushing full steam ahead with the certification in our peer support program. Mm-hmm. And that is just because it's such a popular topic at conferences like this, and it seems to be popping up all around the nation now. People often confuse it with CISM, Critical Incident Stress Management.
Right.
And so what we're doing with our peer support is taking more of a holistic approach to that. So CISM is basically a debriefing after critical incidents,
right?
Which is very necessary, not just for telecommunicators, but also field personnel. And many agencies are good at doing that. But so what we encourage them to do is be more proactive. And so that's when we start talking about peer support, because peer support talks about everything that happens in between. So CISM is great, but it's very reactive because it happens after critical incidents. Well, after that critical incident, a week later, what are we doing in the meantime to take care of our people to try and prevent things like compassion fatigue and just the general accumulation of the stress of handling those everyday mundane calls, those loud party calls, or when Joe calls about the tin hat on his head
right,
and wants you to call the White House for him.
Yes, exactly.
What are we doing about the accumulation of stress in regards to handling those calls every day that we do? And that leads to compassion fatigue and career burnout, and then our agencies struggle with retention. And so peer support helps address some of those problems because it's more of a holistic approach to the general welfare as opposed to only addressing one singular critical incident.
Right.
And so oftentimes a lot of people at conferences like this are blown away because they haven't heard about peer support doing that kind of work. So a lot of people are familiar with CISM, but not a lot of people are familiar with peer support and all of the advantages a program like that can have implemented into operations at your center.
Well, that's awesome then, because I mean, if somebody would have told me when I was in dispatch, we're going to go, you know, do this peer support course, I would have thought the same thing, like you said earlier, about the whole kumbaya thing and shit. Like, no, I'm not going to go do that. And if I go, like, I probably would have thought in the beginning, I'm just immediately not going to pay attention because it's not going to be anything. But
yeah, it's nothing like that. So, you know, what if I told you that we could give you some basic training to help recognize some things going on in your personal life, but also your employees' personal lives and professional lives that might help make a positive difference in their own health and wellness, but then also their productivity. Boost morale, raise morale, because we know that that often makes more productive employees,
right,
happier call centers, and when we're all happy, we're all doing great work.
See, it's all in the delivery.
It is, yes. It is.
Years ago on dispatch, if you had said it that way, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's do this.
Exactly.
I'm all about it.
So how can we get people to buy into that type of program?
Right.
To take care of themselves and to take care of their coworkers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, going into the wrap-up of this episode, how can people find you, you know, online, the 911 Training Institute? Also, you've got a blog, the Operation 10-8. You know, you've got this thing going. And, you know, how can people find the stuff that you're doing, the stuff that you're doing with the Training Institute, and, you know, all social media and stuff?
Yeah, so Operation 10-8 is just a blog that I like to write in my spare time, which I have none of. So I apologize to all my little followers.
Nice.
My poor little redheaded stepchildren that I give no attention to anymore.
Way to go.
Right?
What a jerk.
Yeah, but Operation 10-8, so like your podcast, I don't podcast, but I just like to write.
Uh-huh.
So I enjoy writing about lots of different topics related to public safety in general, but also the 911 world, because that's where I came from. And so I just write on a blog when I get the opportunity every now and then.
That's awesome.
And you know what? You and I recently did one that you posted, graciously posted on your site.
Yeah, thank you for writing it, man. Yeah, that was so good.
I have to thank you for that picture, because that made my day. I got a lot of mail about that picture.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I got a lot of messages as too. Well. So for those who are listening, if you get a chance to check out that blog post, I'll make sure to put that link on the blog post that I do for this episode, as well as your other links and such.
But yeah, it's on your page, and it's called Rainy Days.
Yeah, it is a good one. And it's crazy, because I had also talked to you about how a few days before you had sent that to me, I was watching my kids play outside in the mud. And I thought, damn, am I that much of an adult or that old now that I don't know how to just have fun jumping in the mud?
Right.
I want to be in the mud. I want to play in the mud too.
Right.
But I've got other shit that's going on that I can't. So it was bittersweet watching them have fun, but also kind of jealous that I was like, I want to play in the mud too with them, but I can't. So then when you sent me that about the rain and the little girl who was just sitting there just enjoying the rain by putting her hand out and stuff, it was perfect, because it was the exact same thing that I experienced. So then, you know, when you had that, and then you had the idea of, you know, Photoshop our faces somehow on something, and it's a little kid out in the rain with an umbrella and a rain jacket with his hand out. However, your face is on the little kid's head, and in the hand that's catching the rain is simply my head.
It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen, but it's awesome.
I know, and that's hilarious. That's why it was cool. Yeah, exactly. That's what made it cool and stuff. But so, how about the training institute?
Yeah, the 911 training institute. You can follow us on Facebook right now. So we post a lot of the things that we do on Facebook. So we've got a calendar of the training classes that we offer. So you can follow us on Facebook and find a calendar of training classes, hopefully in your area, that Jim Marshall will be at, along with other speaking engagements that some of our other associates and colleagues do across the country that people would probably find interesting. And then just general 911 news, because we're always talking about, you know, things of current events we see in the 911 industry regarding stress, health, wellness, and how to help our telecommunicators battle those things.
Awesome.
Yeah. So find us on Facebook, follow us there. And we're often, you know, sharing things that within the trenches posts and our other colleagues from other 911 pages that we tend to troll around and share and post as well.
Yeah. Our homeboy Lloyd with Dispatch Monkey. Tom with the Cool Kids of 911. Oh, there it is. Nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Sue Pavetta with 911trainer.com just brought me the journal, and I have got a Q&A up in here on page 47, so that is awesome.
Outstanding. But, everyone needs to check out the journal, because they publish some great stuff.
They do. They have some excellent stuff on there. We've been pushing them as well. So
Audrey Frazier, their editor, who organizes most of that, commendation to her as well for putting that together for things like this conference.
That's right.
Hello, Audrey.
Thank you very much. But thank you, Ryan, for being on the podcast. And it's been good, man.
It's always
been
a pleasure.
We're going to have to do this again. Now, before she had walked up, I had to say the Cool Kids from 911, Tom, make sure to check out what he's doing. 911 Dispatchers and Friends, Manny, that dude is awesome. I met him last year for the first time in Orlando. That was really cool. And then, of course, Adam Tim with the Healthy Dispatcher. You know, make sure to check everybody out. They're doing a lot of good stuff for the industry. And for those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email the podcast, and that's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @911podcast. You can also like us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And this episode, along with all the other episodes, can be listened to 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and thejabberlug.com. And last but not least, thank you both supporters for the IAED for allowing me to be here and giving me this opportunity, as well as In Digital, a leader in next-gen core services. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.